meetings of ministers of Africa in Nigeria. I'm trying to check the apology for the GM. Yes, the minister is attending the joint committee meeting of cabinet. That's why she's not here. And the deputy minister Chueto is responsible for human settlement. He's attending the meeting with the premier of Limpopo because there is the Kaoleza district model is being implemented in Limpopo this coming weekend. So, I've indicated that the deputy minister is attending the meetings of Africa, meetings of ministers of Africa in Nigeria, Deputy Minister Mahlong. So, we have the acting DG Leshabane and the CFO representing the department on the human settlement. The DG Shangan and the other team of the department, which is responsible for water and sanitation, they started with the Select Committee. They are around here, but they are in the NCOP. So they will join us after their presentation. So we'll start with the human settlement part. Their quarterly report. I want to take this opportunity to wish the CFO a belated birthday. It was her birthday yesterday. So we hope you have enjoyed it and we're happy for you, CFO. So you can go and have the tablets and come back. Or the clinic, there's a clinic next to you. Yes. Okay. So Honorable Seki.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think before you... Okay. Thanks, Chair. I think before you start, it's proper that we also congratulate you for your birthday. Chair was her birthday on Saturday, the 16th of November. She was turning 50. It was her 50th birthday. So congratulations, Chair, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. No, he 15, Chan. So, he paid to 50. No manga. I've crossed the river. So, Mashiru is going to buy a cake. So, will tell us when do we eat the cake. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. So, Honorable Members, we... We have received from members. We have received the apologies from Honorable Powell, she's not coming for this meeting. And honorable members, it's now 9:45. We are going to take the presentation, acting DG, because there are two presentations that we'll receive. We must, I want us to agree in time so that when the time is up, even if you still want to ask questions, when I'm saying, we must understand. So we're having a sitting at 2 o'clock, so our meeting is between now and 2 o'clock. Did you organize lunch for us? There is no lunch organized for us, so it means that we must finish at 1. So we're going to take presentation. Mr. Alshaban, how many minutes do you need? On your team, we've got hour for your whole presentation and discussion. So, 22 minutes, including the CFO.
Chairperson, because we initially prepared to brief the committee on the overall quarterly performance, and we can see the agenda now requires us to focus on expenditure for the quarter, it may then be a shorter input in that regard if we are going to zoom into the quarter expenditure.
Yeah, it's not only the second quarter. So members will, in their minds, they have the first quarter. You don't have to take us, go back there. So we'll give the Mr. Alshaban and the team to present, and then we have only 1 hour for this presentation. By 10:45, we take the water and sanitation. Agreed. Mr. Alshaban, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members in the committee. Chairperson, I'm accompanied by Mema Tlatsi, who's the CFO, and Mr. Nyameko Mbengo, who's the acting DDG for corporate services, as well as May Bileng Khumalo, who's our acting chief director for enterprise architecture. Chairperson, as I indicated, we have prepared to just present to the committee the overall performance of the department up to in the second quarter of the financial year. We have also singled out, Chairperson, an overview of the financial performance, and related to that in part four, an overview of grant performance. So, Chairperson, given that the committee is directing us to focus on expenditure in the second quarter, the CFO will talk to both the departmental for financial performance as well as the grants performance to date. We always, Chairperson, I don't want to say disadvantaged, because by the time we present quarterly results, we are already a month and a half later. So this is really, I would say, nearly 2 months out, because what was the picture in September has drastically changed if we were to look at today. But be that as it may, we will present to you the results as at the end of September. CFO will talk to the financial performance. Chair, safe to say that from where we sit, we are implementing the approved annual performance plan as adopted. We have had to address the deficiencies that we encountered in the first quarter, but we are seeing robust performance as the quarters roll on. Chairperson, it is no secret that there's increased external impacts on our programs. And I will come back to that as I conclude after the CFO makes the input. Chair, we won't get into the quarter two performance in detail. I think we will indulge the committee insofar as expenditure is concerned. Chairperson, this report comes to you after MINMEC said 2 weeks ago to review specifically grant performance. And in that MINMEC, the MINMEC resolved to pay specific attention to those provinces that are underperforming. And you will see from the grant performances those provinces. Chairperson, I'm happy that all of the targeted provinces, even though MINMEC has resolved that let's cut the budgets of those that are underperforming and shift the funds to provinces that are performing so that we get delivery where there's readiness to do so. All the provinces that were targeted, Limpopo, Northwest, Free State, Gauteng, and Northern Cape, have been assisted to prepare recovery plans. And I'm sure when we present the third quarter report, the committee will see the real impact of the MINMEC decision. But for now, Chairperson, we'll focus on quarter two performance. Let me invite the CFO to then talk to the results.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Honorable Chair, honorable members, good morning. I think the difficulty... I think when we were presenting to Portfolio Committee during the orientation, we briefed the committee on so many issues, including how the structure of the budget. That also talks to the structure of the organization and the difference thereof. And I think at that time we did indicate that as a department, when we report to Treasury, we report based on the budget structure. But when we report internally, and most probably to other structures other than the Portfolio Committee, we report on 6 branches. I'm giving you the structure that is budget related because we're dealing with finances, but I want to believe that this information, the Portfolio Committee has and has had access to it through debt orientation, so I won't spend much on it. So we're still running on 4 programs and we're reporting on 4 programs. Chair, even then we gave an indication that over the year, around 31 March, we still shall be reporting on 33.8 billion. We do not have any adjustments that much, and we may have had adjustment for some provinces that had received the rollover applications, and that will be seen as we move towards the performance of the grants. So as at 30 September, out of the budget of 33.8 billion, we have expended 12.9 of it as a department, as a sector. That includes the transfers to metros and the transfers to provinces in the form of the grants, the major ones being the Human Settlements Development Grant and the Urban Settlement Development Grant. So, Chair, ordinarily, during this time of the year, or rather technically, we should be sitting at 50% of the expenditure. However, when we were dealing with projections, we realized that if we could reserve, or rather be conservative in terms of what we draw from the bank because we would not be spending that entire, given the projections that we had. We actually felt that it would be drawing too much interest for us to actually project more and draw more from the bank and keep the money in our bank, and it doesn't yield the same interest as the one that is or was incurred in terms of the drawings. So out of that projection that we had, as much as it was little, we still could not reach the 50%. Hence, we are emphasizing the fact that we should be sitting at 50% then. But obviously, the situation has changed now, and as we shall present in the third quarter, that will be visible. But we're still reporting on a lesser amount than the 50% that we ought to have received, which is now 38%. You can see that even from the quarter, the program four, where the transfers are being made to provinces, we still had some conservative measures there, because the money that gets transferred to the provinces and not spent at the same time, we do not have access to it if the provinces do not spend. And at the end of the day, it ends up reverting back to treasury. So we're trying to keep those anomalies before the early start of the year and move along when we were allowed to even take money away from provinces and get it back to other provinces who may be in a position to absorb it. So that's the status, Chair and Committee, and we do accept that it's far less than the 50% that we needed to have achieved during this period. Now, this is a situation whereby we give you the breakdown of that 38 items in terms of the items, which we call them economic classifications. Different from the bigger part of the program, you will have your COE, which is the payment of your salaries, including all your pension benefits within the scheme. You'll have your interest that is payable and payment for financial assets, transfers to subsidies. If you look at the transfers to subsidies, it's a big amount that has been transferred to provinces and metros, and this is where we're talking about that transfer that is possible not to have been spent at 50%. And then part of the money is paying your payment of capital assets. So, Chair, if you look at this and the previous, the percentage is still the same, but here we are telling you where much money was spent on. And if you look at it, it's the transfers that have been given to the NHFC, which is the current bank, in terms of the capitalization or recapitalization of the bank itself. Now, we would have spent 50% of our COE if the staff establishment was fully capacitated. And we do note that in terms of the current situation, we're still filling the position. So the situation would still change in terms of the compensation of employees. So is the goods and services, because this one talks to the other one. Because the goods and services is tying to the individual employee in the department. Now, Chair, the transfers, as I indicated, that would be your biggest two grants, which is HSDG and Urban Settlement Development Grant. I think that the committee knows now the acronyms by now. We have transferred 8.9 billion to provinces in the form of HSDG and 2.5 in the form of a USDG. So the other grants are dependent on the performance and are dependent on the request, and the money is transferable upon approval between ourselves and National Treasury. That would be the two grants, which is the Provincial and Municipal Emergency Housing Grant. Then the title deed grant is also transferable. However, that's part of the grants that we are also conservative, because it has to have a specific purpose at the end of the day. Then there's money that gets transferred to our entities. We've already given SHRA two packets of money, which is the authorizational one, which talks to their salaries as well as the one that is forming the part of the capital that provides to us the social housing units, as well as the pipeline projects that are funded while we are producing at the end of the period. And then we have CISOS that has received the entire amount of 32.8 million, and HDA at this point in time, we had given them 114, which is half of the 229 that they have in the coffers. Then the 100 million, which is form of a grant for particularly that program that is FLIS, because they are administering part of the FLIS on the behalf of provinces and the sector itself. So 47 and 5 million has been transferred to them. Then the rest, Chair, are those commitments that we have as a department in terms of the arrangements and agreements, as well as contracts and service level agreements that we have with all the stakeholders that contribute towards the development of human settlements, or rather to the development of housing programs. Chair, if I were to speed up, and this is where I'm saying the disadvantage of the slide and the changes brings us to move away from the slide, and apologies for the inconvenience, because now I'm moving towards talking to the grants of the department. Chair, the acting DG earlier on indicated...
What slide are you on?
Oh, my apologies. Slide 36. Slide 36. Page 18, according to the printed document. Page 18.
Oh, the printed one.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. My apologies once again. Chair, as I indicated, the acting DG Elakon pointed out the four provinces, if not five, that had challenge and that could not spend the 50% that was desired during the September period. And we've highlighted them in red. It's your Free State, Gauteng, Northern Cape, and Northwest, as you see it. Chair, we spoke of Limpopo, and it's not in red, because it's not in the red per se, but we felt that for a certain particular program, we needed to also provide them with assistance in that regard. So, Chair, if you look at the 8.2 billion that has been spent by provinces, part of that money includes the rollovers that have been approved by National Treasury for the better part of the money that was not spent by provinces in the previous financial year. So the process there is that if there's money left and there's commitments to that, because it's a capital grant, Treasury has a soft and a leeway of approving those committed projects that will enhance or sustain the projects that are on a multi-year program of some sort. Now, that 167 also forms part of the amount that has been transferred to provinces to the tune of 9.1 billion. And of that amount, Chair, and I think most provinces did very well in this period, because mostly spent half of the money that we had given them in terms of the transfers, which I think is part of the money that is in blue, and it says spent against transferred funds. So 90% of that money has been expended. So there's little money that has been left in the books of the provinces or the provincial treasury account. So our focus during that meeting was on those four provinces, which we felt that if we leave them with the status as it is, we will find ourselves having these problems, reverting money back to national treasury, not performing according to the business plan, and at the end of the day, spending money where it's not supposed to be spending, and spending money where it will not yield any housing opportunities that we desire. Now, Chair, if you look at all this, this is where we had a separate meeting with the provinces identified, where we asked them to provide us with recovery plans, particularly to those programs that we felt that they are suffering. And in mostly those programs that are suffering, and I think to state it categorically, it's the upgrading of informal settlement program and somehow the issue of the mining towns that we first. So this is the situation, Chair, and I think as I indicated, the recovery plans are being received, they're being assessed, and this is where we will determine as to whether the decision that was taken by MINMEC is going ahead. And if it's going ahead, it will be like minimal amounts that we shall be taking from provinces. It will not be the same amount that we thought it would be possible to take. Chair, if you look at this slide, it tells you to say of that amount that has been expended, as the national department, we have achieved for the 6 months ending September, opportunities to the tune of 7,338 in general. And if you look at that, that would tell you to say these are now terms of the sites that have been serviced. And that would be the difference, Chairperson. But now if you look at the issues of the houses completed, they are ranging at 30,000 in contrast to the 37 that has been expended. So there's a bit of a big gap and a minus big gap from the housing in contrast to the site. So, Chair, this slide is easily understandable. You'll be able to see that whatever we planned for the quarter, this is what we have achieved, and similarly with the houses as well. It's the same as that. Chair, with your permission, allow me to move to the big other grant, which is the Urban Settlement Development Grant, which is the second grant that we transfer to our metros. The amount that was transferred to the metros, because their financial year only begins in June, is 2.5. Now, that's, of that 2.5, there's also been a slow performance movement within this grant, simply because at the time of us transferring, the metros were still busy closing the books. Slide 41. Oh my. Noted. Thank you. So I'm saying the performance of the urban settlement grant during this period becomes very slow, simply because more time is spent on closing the year, more time is spent on finishing the previous year's budget, because most of the time metros would have this weak point of leaving the money towards the end of the financial year or during the adjustment budget to find that more money is being allocated to those moving projects. And now there's more pressure for them to spend this money against the period of the year ending 30 June. And now there's this element of the accrual system that allows them to even jump towards the end of August to spend the entire budget. And that leaves more room for them not to be able to even spend the money that we've transferred in terms of the projection and the approved payment schedule. So the performance becomes very poor in September, and it will pick up, Chair, when we come back to present to the Portfolio Committee the second quarter. The picture would definitely be different to that. This is how the USDG has performed or has fared against those provinces where the money has been allocated. If you look at this allocation, more money is invested in housing and human settlements to the tune of 4.9 billion. But if you add all these facilities, they all contribute towards development of human settlements. So this amount becomes more than the 50% that we indicated to metros that they should invest towards the development of human settlements and upgrading of informal settlements in some instances. However, Chair, as I indicated, less money was spent on this, given all the scenarios that I painted earlier on. So the expenditure is 9%. Chair, the issue of the title deed, that's the next slide, at number 43. We have a small voted fund of 547. We've given our provinces 209 of that amount, and only 83 was spent. And once again, Chair, this is one program that we felt within those categories of the underperformance of the provinces will be given the attention. So we gave much attention for this, for a particular part of the recovery period. So this is one program. Another one is the mining towns, and another one is the fleet program, so to speak. Then the provincial emergency grant, we spoke about it. We presented a full detailed report to the portfolio committee at some point, and we did indicate at that time where the money was spent on, and I think at that time we also showed the figures to some of the shelters that were provided to the needy during this period. So this amount is expended against the 276, and the amount that was remaining then is receiving attention because there are 2 to 3 municipalities that will be sharing the 154 as per the approvals that we have received to date. The same with the municipal emergency grant is transferable upon approval of the requests that have been made by the municipalities. The last approval that we had is from Eguruleni with the disaster that we had, and then of that 149, 147 is already with provinces. But the status chair has changed drastically. Most of the metros, most of the municipalities have expended this money. Obviously, we don't have that report at this point in time because this is as of 30 September. Chair, I think this ends part of the finance, and I will hand over to the acting.
Chairperson, I thought we will go back and perhaps give the overview of the performance of the department. I think time still permits us, Chair. We thought let's focus on the finances and then we'll come back to the performance of the department. With your permission, Chair, I will go back to the initial, at the beginning of the presentation, just so that I get into the program performance, Chairperson. I am talking about slide 9. Chair, I'll go through this quite rapidly. Safe to say, Chair, that these four programs are the budget structure, as the CFO has indicated. Say, I'll go through each one specifically, just so that the committee is appraised of performance in respect of each of these programs, Chairperson. The program on administration, Chair, I think compliance remains the vein of the department. We have achieved what we set out to achieve, Chair. The variance is occasioned here by the fact that the DPME adjusted in the year the timelines for submitting the drafts of the APP for next year. Ordinarily, by the end of September, this should be in place, but DPME changed that at its end of October. So that could not have been achieved anyway, but it's not for lack of performance. Chairperson, further to that, the internal audit plan that we have approved, the target was to implement 45% of the plan. We've achieved 15% of that, essentially completing 4 audits out of the 27. Chair, in this past quarter, we've had to pause on the planned audits and attend to the verification of delivery figures in the provinces, because we've had to send our internal audit team out into the provinces to drill into the audited performance results in the provinces. So we will continue with our own audit plan going forward. But in this quarter, we've had to take a conscious decision to rather go back into the provinces to deal with that. Further to that, Chairperson, the anti-fraud corruption plan had to be implemented. We've implemented all of that. Further to that, the disputes that are lodged with our office have to be investigated within 90 days. We confirm, Chair, that all of those have been subjected to investigations that have come through to us. Chair, you would see that we record that some 91 cases have been reported and reviewed accordingly. Chair, as I continue in that regard, the legislative framework program was achieved. I'm saying, Chairperson, because in each quarter we have to record what we are doing with legislative improvements. We can confirm, Chair, that as you are aware, the Property Practitioners Bill was signed into law. The effective date is awaiting the President's determination. The Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Amendment Bill, that bill is being drafted. It's being processed through Cabinet. The Housing Consumer Protection Bill, while it was approved by Cabinet for public comments, we are busy with that. We've been to pretty much all the provinces. The Human Settlements Development Bank Bill is what is currently being drafted. And in due course, it will come to the House, well, Cabinet and then the House. Similarly, the amendment of the PIE Act, Chair, this is work that is underway. Whatever the proposals are being reviewed by the Sector Legal Forum, Chairperson. Moving fast, in terms of our HR plan, the target is to implement 100% of that. We record, Chair, we've implemented 77% of what is contained in the HR plan. There are dependencies that you couldn't quite execute. We have not revised the structure as yet, so the process of securing the buy-in consultations is what will be implemented following the resolutions of the structure thereof. Similarly, Chair, we comply with the statutory requirements. I think HR is highly regulated in the Public Service Act. Therefore, all of the requirements we've satisfied, Chairperson. I was just confirming, Chair, those areas that could not be performed, even if we wanted to. If you have to place staff against a updated structure, there must be an updated structure. So we're not there yet. But we have to be ready to do so. Similarly, we have to secure stakeholder buy-in. We have to provide or prepare job descriptions for the newly created posts. We don't have those. So you couldn't actually action this part in that regard. Chair, so far as our policy development and strategies concerned, I think, Chair, we've achieved our international cooperation initiatives as we targeted, and we listed these. Similarly, the IGR fora that support human settlements development, all of those, Chairperson, have been coordinated accordingly. We are recording that we've complied with what we set out to do. We list those fora, Chair, for your information. Chairperson, similarly, the partnerships that we mobilize to support our business, social contract partners, is really, Chair, mobilizing the broad front of stakeholders that are involved outside of government in our business. So we are confirming, Chair, that these initiatives have been pursued as targeted. The only one, Chair, that we've deferred is because there's been a decision to defer the Govan Mbeki Awards, which is part of our broader stakeholder mobilization. Chair, insofar as our program monitoring and delivery support, this is probably the heart of the programs as the committee would be interested in. Chair, insofar as the project readiness matrices are concerned, we implement this in all the projects, in all the provinces, and we have to continuously assess the level of readiness to implement what is in the plan. And, Chair, we do this every quarter. We do this every time provinces submit adjustments to the plan or even the drafts for the next year. We confirm, Chairperson, that insofar as quarter two is concerned, we've achieved that. But what does it mean to have achieved this? In all the provinces, Chair, we've had to assess all the projects that are proposed. We've had to isolate which ones are risky. We also have to undertake a reconciliation as to if these projects are not de-risked, what does it mean for delivery? And that's what you see on the outer column, the budgets that are at risk, the number of units that cannot be delivered if you don't resolve the risk. This is an important part of our work, Chair, to be able to manage the risk upfront and not later on. Change of us upgrading of informal settlements. Our assessment of informal settlements is an ongoing work. We've targeted to do 50 this past quarter. We've done 42. Those are completed. The others can't be completed because of the situation on the ground. Similarly, we targeted to prepare 100 upgrading plans. We could only do 40 chairperson. The others are subject to the situation on the ground, because if you can't work with communities, you can't claim to have completed the plans. So this work that will be completed going forward. Insofar as our catalytic projects, Chair, the committee is aware, we are supporting the implementation of 50 government-led catalytic projects. That support, Chairperson, you can tell 17 projects are still at planning stage, 33 at various stages of implementation. There's a full schedule around all of the 50 catalytic projects, and we just give you some of the highlights about what we would have been doing in those five provinces, Chairperson. Military Vet is a program, housing for military veterans is a program that continues to meet with headwinds, and I'm saying headwinds because from where I'm sitting, Chair, it's straightforward to build a house for us, but it falls outside of our competence to determine the bona fide of military vets. And that question the committee has entertained in the past few weeks. But, Chair, this issue of beneficiary lists remains a challenge that between my office and the office of the DG, military veterans, we are finding a way to close that gap so that it should be easy to identify the military vets, 4,000. We can allocate the 4,000 houses. People's housing process, Chair, this now Zenzeleni. Chair, we support the provinces, all of them, the metros, to upscale this program. The revitalization of distressed mining communities, a program that we implement in 23 municipalities. Chair, I must emphasize this part. Very often we are criticized, why are we involved, why are we choosing to get into this space? The reality, Chair, is that the impact of mining in those neighborhoods, those communities, if it is not managed now, from a human settlements point of view, you have disastrous outcomes down the line. So we are committed to this. We continue to implement this program. The land assembly plan, Chairperson, that's work that's ongoing, because to build a house anywhere, it must be on land. So you have to be 5-10 years ahead in terms of your land assembly plan. The good news in this past quarter, Chair, is that the Interministerial Committee on Land Reform supported that some 14,000 hectares of land be released, state land, that is. Members would have now learned cabinet since approved that recommendation from the IMC, Chair. Our monitoring work continues. We've had to review the impact of informal settlements, our program. We've had to look at how the IDPs reflect better on the housing demand, human settlements considerations, and what then do we need to do to improve the same. So that work has been done, Chairperson. Chair, the part of the title deeds, Chair, we have targeted that provinces would be able to register some 13,000 title deeds in the backlog. We can confirm now, Chair, we've seen some 10,000 title deeds registered. We are quite happy with this performance, because in the past it was not easy to get these types of performance outcomes. Chair, insofar as the current title deeds, and I'm talking now houses built in the last, since 2014, this is where the real lag is, and this is where the real risk is, because provinces are not prioritizing this title deeds. Provinces are not prioritizing the issuing of title deeds for the houses that they are building today. So effectively, Chairperson, the risk is that you are likely to see the resurgence of this title deeds backlog. But we have put measures in place to arrest that, so that you don't approve the building of houses on a project where the township register is not near open. Otherwise, you can't move with the title deeds. Chair, Lastly, we can show you the figures as we indicated on the title deeds restoration program. I don't want to repeat that, save to say that these are the outputs. Chairperson, in conclusion, we can confirm from Program 4, the Housing Development Finance, that we've pretty much done all that is required, or rather all that was planned for this quarter. The only part, Chairperson, is that we could not finalize the assessment or the analysis of lending patterns by financial institutions. The report is there, but we've had a gap insofar as the Office of Disclosure is concerned, because the members, their tenure has come to an end, and we are amending the Home Loans Disclosure Act as well. But that matter that will be finalized in this quarter, Chair. Overall, the department has achieved 55% of the planned targets. Some 37% of the planned targets are work in progress. It's 8% of the targets that we can confirm have not been realized in this quarter. Those will carry over, Chairperson. Chair, as I conclude, the question often arises, okay, what measures are being implemented to improve performance? This slide, Chair, the CFO has talked to. I want to go to the last slide, which is second last slide, slide 46. Essentially, Chairperson, to arrest the discrepancy between what we report and the provinces report, our annual report going forward, and this is the agreement we have with the AG, is that we will only report on the audited figures in the from the provinces. One. Two, insofar as the audit action plan is concerned, that's being implemented. The members would recall when we presented the annual report, there were matters that the AG had isolated. We are addressing those. There's an audit action plan. Chair, we'll continue to sharpen our programs so that delivery and implementation is enhanced. Lastly, Chair, the support to provinces and metros remains the core of what we have to do. Once we've set the policy, once we've set the funds, it's how the provinces implement. And therefore, that's where, Chairperson, that our focus is directed. Of course, Chairperson, we are filling the vacancies that we have, and we are asking, Chairperson, that in considering this report, the committee is aware that, one, the USDG, the Urban Settlements Development Grant that goes to the metros, always lags one quarter behind, because the financial years of the metros and ourselves are designed as such. Similarly, Chairperson, the emergency housing, I think there's something that the committee may want to pay attention to. There's a saying that lightning, I may not quote it correctly, Chairperson, that lightning does not strike the same spot twice. But we've witnessed that, Chairperson, that in a place like Eteguini, there's something with the topography and the climate change coincidence. I was in Eteguini last week, Chairperson, the floods. It's exactly what happened in April this year. It's exactly what happened a few years ago. And now lightning strikes three times in the same spot. So the household so affected by those floods, it suggests that perhaps responding with emergency housing may not necessarily be the solution. You require a resettlement overall, and that's the conversation we are having with the city. In fact, from here I'm going to the city. But I'm just suggesting, Chair, it may be an issue that the committee would want to zoom into going forward, because the implications of climate change are coming to the fore in ways that we did not imagine before. Chairperson, thank you very much. That's the end of our input. We recommend that the committee notes this quarter two performance as reported by the Department of Human Settlements. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG.
Honourable members, that was the presentation. You know, DG, the weakness that we need to close is that your entity, we don't get their feedback in a year. We only meet with them at the end and when they present the strat plan. And it's becoming a problem with those that have problems with their audits and all those things. So so I know that you not report on their behalf. You can only give the monitoring because you have a responsibility to monitor them. The monitoring reports how they perform. So we'll create a space to get particularly those that have not performed very well in the last financial year to come and give us their plans, how they are improving their audits and the, because their performance, if we don't monitor, can affect your performance too as a department. But I think in the third quarter, would want the person who's dealing with the monitoring of entities to come and deal with those with the entities in particular. But those that have not performed, they've performed poorly. Your HDA and CISOs, they'll have to come back to the committee in next week's meeting for them to come and present as the entities. So I just wanted to clear this one because even before members can ask, it's the arrangement that we have not actually put in place properly, and we'll close that gap, honourable members. You are invited, honourable members, to engage with the report. Honourable Biga, honourable Mokoto, honourable Mashego, honourable Tseke, honourable. August, honourable. No, you're not sharing. Let me see the hand. Honourable Ngwezi, honourable Sekwai, and honourable Iris. Honourable members, as we have indicated the time, I don't want to talk about the speeches, but I want to say, let's comment, bear in mind the time, because 11 o'clock, when it comes, if we don't give space for them to get answers, we might end up not having the answers. Number one, sir.
Chairperson, as Bong, he report. I just want to check. The issue of the title deeds, it's concerning to the department. So all I want to check is to, other than just to acknowledge that there is a problem, if the department has tried to get to the bottom to find out as to what makes the provinces to seem not to care much about ensuring that they deal with the issue of the title deed, so there can be a solution whether to try and make it a priority also to the provinces as well. Secondly, Chair, I just want to find out as to who stands to benefit from the money that the Treasury takes back from non-performing provinces. The province the department will give the money to the province, a particular province, and then when the province is found not to have used it, it's taken back it's taken back by Treasury. Then, who stands to benefit from that money? Does it, in a way, returned to the department, like Human Settlement or any other department that the money was taken from initially. And lastly, I just want clarity as to how do municipalities get to be targeted for support by the national department when there are provincial government that are working directly with those municipalities? Because in a case of the provinces, then the department, the national department can then render any form of support. Then how does it go to an extent of passing the province to the municipalities? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 21, it is stated that less money has been spent on building houses for the poor. So my question is, what measures have you put in place to make sure that this occurrence does not happen again? Again, when you look on point 3.1.2, you have set, the department has set itself a target of 45% in implementing approved internal audit plans. And then it has only achieved, it did not achieve in actual fact, it's not achieved because it was able to achieve 15% of the 45% which they have set themselves. Yet when you go to page 23, the department is stating that they are implementing a monitoring schedule to make sure that there is an improvement in approved internal audit plans. So my question is, these two do not correlate because the target that you give yourself is high, and yet at the end of the day you achieve less, but on page 23 you are stating that every month you are implementing what you are supposed to implement on internal approved audit plans. Can I get an explanation why there is a contradiction between the two statements? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I remember I did say that I think I will be sick. So, the just questions for me. In your opening statement, you said that there is a possibility that the CFO that the challenge you have is that the money that you get give to provinces, you have got no access to it, whether it is used or not used. And you're just stating it as a problem. There is no solution that you're putting forward as to how do you want to better that. You monitor. Remember when we were still curious in the department, we declared that we want to follow our money to the latter. So, and we are still re-emphasizing the problem statement with no plans or no commitment to better it. It means it might perpetuate for as long as you mention it. You will think that it is something worth noting. But you might have, but you did not say it, you spoke of it. But the second point is, what is the difficulty really of this title deed issuance, be it prior or pre-2014 or 1994? There is no movement in that process. To me, Yes, I take the point what the DG is also saying, that maybe some of these things are not, the townships are not yet declared, therefore difficult. Let's state those problems, DG, and it is people for people not to judge you to having failed to issue. But if you just report non-compliance and non-meeting, you target 154,000, you only issue 97,000 or 45,000. It shows a big fail. But you are not give us a reason. What are the difficulties to meet that the commitment you are making in terms of those issues? The other one is that, in your view, DG, or CFO, if you, the money that you budgeted for shall be spent on demand basis, if the province does not demand, you are sitting with 16 billion rand, but there is no demand coming, how do you envisage spending that money? Because finally, it is you who is going to be held having not spent the money given to you. You are not going to use a statement that, no, I kept it because no board demanded. Shepherdson is a Christian, so it said that there were people who were given some seeds to plow. Others just put it under the bed and in fear of it getting rotten. So we will definitely judge you for having failed when you are saying it is because there was no demand. You have got no plan of yourself spending outside that. Give us a status report, status quo, where we are on the government vehicle award, because it was actually making the municipalities to work hard in order to win this award. Now, in the absence of it, they might then. Finally, Chair, you put it as a mild. To me, it should not be mild. Let's strengthen it. Entities were here, and they must not visit us. For that visit of them coming here in bulk and to a point where we fight for space with them, and they will come back 1 year later, it can't be correct. And we know, DG, that those people account to you, that we know. But the fact that you have created the impression that they will come and report here, you must report on their behalf, and you must hold you answerable on their work. But because they came here and made us to believe they are willing to talk to us, they must come. For instance, you remember, in most of them, just as a problem statement, DG, nearly 60-70% of them were appointed when the parliament was has established. So they did not go to cabinet for ratification. We hear that you have appointed, and I'm saying you because you are a DG acting, some advisory committees that are now dealing with overseeing them. Yes, you might. I'm not saying it is bad, but let us know of them, because we still want to know whether the cabinet has now passed them. If it is passed, what is now the mandate? Are they meeting the mandate? But especially the one your finance. Remember, there was an issue that it was said that that this establishment was a problem, or their establishment was a problem, because it was the issue of credibility and credibility of the board itself, the members of the board, and so forth. So if we can get where we are continuously in order for us to monitor their existence, it will be better. But in case that, and if Ungwe is going to build in mountains and it believes lightning shall not strike him, it will strike. The upper you go, the lightning is nearer your head. Ungwe.
Order, members. I think honorable members, you are eating your time and other people's time. Yes. Honorable Mashiru, you are out of order. And Honorable Mabika, are you representing Ngwezi in this meeting?
No, Chair.
No, then stop that one. Ngwezi, No. Ungwezi uyu yedo. No. Honorable Mabika, allow, help me to chair the meeting. You are eating your own time, and when the times arise, I'm going to stop it, and you'll go and complain outside the meeting. Let's proceed, number four.
Oh, thanks, Shepherdson. I think, Che, at a certain point, we must call provinces just for them to come and account on why are they not spending the budget as appropriated. Because I must say that, Che, there's a need in our constituencies, there's a need in the provinces that we are coming from. Of houses, so I think there's a need for provinces to come and account, just to check what are the challenges. And secondly, the minister has in her budget speech has said that we are going to, the department is going to issue title deeds. She has made a commitment. Every Friday, eh? Yeah, I think she said every Friday. That was a political statement and a commitment to the nation. So we, Tina, as lawmakers and as members of parliament, we want to see that happening. And the other issue, with regard to the legislations that is that are supposed to be presented before Parliament. You know, Chair, departments have a tendency of, submitting bills or legislations towards the end of the term. And they give pressure to a portfolio committee and Parliament just to fast-track that process. And at the end of the day, we end up not doing justice to public participation. So the time frames for the bills that you want to present before Parliament, I think it's important. We don't want to see that scenario of a department presenting towards the end of the year. We also want to commend the issue of military veterans. I think it was a finding in your previous annual report. And I think we must also fast-track it of building houses or identifying proper military veterans for the completion of houses. I think we must fast-track that meeting, meeting in the Department of Military Veterans. The other slide speaks to the shifting of money from goods and services that was supposed to cover theft and losses of equipment and vehicles. I'm not quite sure which slide is that. So can I get the causes or just give us details with regard to that? Thanks, Chair.
Number five. Is it not you, Agan?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I didn't know I'm number five. When you were pointing hands, I didn't count. Thanks, Chair. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday, Chair and CFO. I hope there are flowers like we spoke yesterday. Okay, thanks, Chair. Chair, just two things. The first comment, Chair, is based on the performance of the expenditure of grants. I see that there are provinces which are marked red and yellow, if I'm correct with those colors. And I think really, Chair and
which something must be done. You know, the demand is huge on the ground. When I say huge, I mean in some provinces, for example, in the province where I come from, KwaZulu-Natal, the department actually, you know, allowed municipalities to appoint implementing agents. 2012, 2013, until today, those houses have not been built. I can make examples. Nkandla, for example, in Ward 6, it's about 1,000 units, they have not been built. You go to Jozini, for example, about 1,400 units have not been built. You go to Nongoma, more than 5,000 in Nongoma, the backlog. And I'm actually asking myself, in the budget you allocated, for example, in KwaZulu-Natal, what makes them not to spend 57%? Because half of the work have already been done. It's just a matter of allocating budget to there, to those projects. I'm making an example. It's not, the money is there. You know, everything was done except now to say, to allocate budget to a project and say, contractor so and so, proceed with your project, you see. So I don't know, Chair, but really, I think that I need to comment to say that the demand is very big. I think we need to, you need DG and your team to take harsher steps for people failing to implement, you know, because at the end of the day, it is delaying our people on the ground. And I don't know really, Chair, what causes the, what causes, I mean, what leads to the failure to deliver title deeds? It's like we build a house not knowing who is going to own it, because we know who is the owner. Why then it takes 5 years, 10 years to deliver title deeds, and we tend to lose a lot of money, Chair? You know, when we are going there to deliver the project itself, we make big rallies. We convene a lot of people to say, even when we deliver the title deeds, we do the same thing. How much are we losing on this thing? And I remember that just maybe last year or so, there was a statement that every Friday, you know, title deeds would be delivered. It's this year. But that is the, I think that is not happening. And I don't think, because politicians like mics, like myself, if the title deeds themselves were there, such a thing will be happening maybe once a month, if not every Friday. Because we like you know, actually calling the names of the owners. We will do that. But then it means that the title deeds themselves have not been finalized. And budget is there. So I don't know whether, if the problem is not with you at a national level, then please assist us. If it's the MECs or head of departments in provinces who are not doing their work, maybe, Chair, we must summon them here. You know, I can quote, Chair, a person I know who, the mother passed away, right? Then the minister tried to intervene and all that. It has taken now 3 years to get that title deed. In fact, it came back with a wrong information in it. Even now, it has not been delivered. The DG correctly mentions the issue that the houses from 2014 to date, the backlog is also there because they are not being attended to. But there are houses older than that, Chair. Some people who were allocated the houses were built. The title deeds never arrived. Now there is a battle now on who is supposed to be a beneficiary to that house in the family now. So you give somebody a house, she passes away without getting the title deed, and then it's a problem going to the future. So I don't know, Chair, maybe we should look at all the role players about this matter of the title deeds, Chair. Then maybe sit down and say and try to find an amicable solution to quickly resolve this matter. Thanks, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Chair, I want to go to the grant funding, the underspent, or those provinces that's not spending is to cut their budget. So if an official at the provincial level is not performing or delivering, why are we cutting that provincial's budget? Why are we letting the poorer community suffer even more because of incompetent of provincial officials? So I just want to know what interventions the department has with provinces to ensure that we don't underspend or to ensure that projects are running properly. The CFO was mentioning that they don't have access to provinces with regards to their spending. I don't know if I listened wrongly, but you've mentioned something where when the monies are transferred to the provinces in terms of their spending on a monthly basis, I don't know what interaction you have as a department with the provinces. So surely if we take the first 2 points, if something is wrong in the province, we don't cut the budget. We assist that province to spend and to unlock all the doors that's locked or the problems that there is. We assist that province. But to say to Limpopo or Mpumalanga, we'll give you less money because your official in the human settled department is not doing its job. We are saying to the communities, you need to wait another year or two. So that's the first two issues. Then I want to take you to page 11, which is slide 21. Now, acting DG, you tell me, first slide, this is the risk of projects. If you look at the provinces, the total number of projects ready for implementation, that's the first column, and then the total number of projects not ready for implementation. Is there a project management problem at provinces that we need to assist with? What's the reason for these projects that cannot be rolled out? Surely, if I want to roll out the next 3 financial years, I have planned already how and I have had public engagement, I've engaged with the communities in terms of where the development will happen and how the development will happen. Surely there would have been engagement, yet today you say to us that there's a risk of projects and we cannot roll out certain projects. And then lastly, Chair, page 16, which is slide 31, title deeds. If you look at that slide, Chairperson, you tell me if you're happy with the rollout of title deeds. Let me say 2021, you'll see that total will be escalating when it comes to election time. But when it's now, during the time, we are not rolling out as we're supposed to. What is the reason that we are sitting with beneficiary verification planned at 164,000, but throughout this country we only have 17,940 that has been verified? Somewhere something is wrong. And I understand the DG, acting DG, is saying that there is turnaround strategies, that you are working, that you're intervening at certain places. But, Chairperson, if you listen to the previous speakers, at the provincial level, we need to intervene and we need to really look deeper into provincial issues. And this department needs to take those provinces by the hand and ensure that we deliver as we have promised our electorate. Thank you.
Number 7. You are the last. Is this not Honorable Vasson? Thank you, Chair. Hello? Chair, mine is on page 40. I just want to... Yeah, in terms of that 14,000 hectares of state land that was released for human settlement, I just want to find out, because as the department have this program of integration, I just want to find out if this land that are available, will that be, will that ensure that integration take place? And then on page 19, I just find out in terms of the actual targets for housing completed. I just want to find out, I see that the Free State and the Northern Cape, I just want to find out why that they have only met half of that target for delivering of housing. And then yeah, okay, it's fine. I cannot see the very my eyes. Honorable Sikai.
Thank you, Chairperson. The department has engaged an agent called HDA. I would like to hear from the acting DG that on the issue of non-performance of provinces, does the department have the clear challenges that make the provinces not to perform? I would imagine that they could differ from province to province. Because what the decision of the MINMEC that they've done, it's an old decision that continues every year of taking money from this province to that province because of non-performance. I think it would be proper if we can get to know what could be the reasons of the non-performance from this province. I'm happy that my province is not one of those that are not performing. I'm like KZN now. The second one, Chair, just a clarity from the acting DG. They are progressing in terms of the service sites. I want to know at which stage that service site is well addressed. I raise the issue because I'm worried about the time of building a house on the basis of the value for money, so that when you start to build the house, you don't start afresh. Is the site ready to put a top structure? And is the ownership of that site? Then ownership of that site, so that invasion, is an ownership of that particular site, so that we legalize the site for the top structure at another time. The anti-fraud corruption that was raised, what could be the nature of this corruption that is happening? Because sometimes eligamale corruption, what is this corruption? Are the people stealing houses, stealing money? What is this? So that we deal with something that we understand well. The last one, Chair, I remember there was a time where the title deeds, I want to refer to the Eastern Cape, the office of title deeds was not in the Eastern Cape, it was in Cape Town, where officials were expected to carry by a van to go there, and that would make some delay in that. Has that changed? So that the issue that the acting DG has raised, that there are delays in terms of the title deeds, so that we are able to deal with the problem where it is. Thank you, Chair.
You're no longer speaking. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I want, because the time is not in our favor, the issue of the provinces, majority of you members and municipalities, you said we must call them. So DG and your team, you can just brass on principles, and then the real issues will be dealt with them as they come. I think that, and the issue of the military veterans, I think we've dealt with this matter quietly, honorable members. There was a need for us to meet with the defense, because it was said that the department were unable to build these houses because the people who identify beneficiaries are the Department of Defense. And in that, there is a process of identifying those people. In Mashego's organization, those people, instead of being going down, they are going up. You ask yourself why you have those people increasing the number, because there is no longer statutory or military of that structure, and that's where the problem is. I think from our side, we should then be able to engage with defense so that we can get access to the DG of defense on the matter. And because the department has raised it before with us, let me allow them to to respond. You have only 10 minutes to do that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do think, Chair, it is perhaps best to start with the intergovernmental fiscal framework. Because, Chair, the national budget, not so much for the department, overall is appropriated to the three spheres of government. Even what is in vote 38, these grants, they are voted on the basis that they are going to be distributed to the provinces following a specific formula. That's equitable, Chair. That principle is long established. Now, here's the issue, Chairperson. Once Province A has been allocated an amount and they can't spend it on time, the fiscal framework requires that at the end of the financial year, they will lose that money. It reverts not to back to the department, to the fiscus. Right? One. Two, this transferring department has an opportunity in the middle of the year. If we see that Province A is at risk, will not be able to spend its allocation, we have to reallocate it to elsewhere where it can be spent to meet the same objective. From where we sit, Chair, if the housing demand can be reduced, whether in Province A, B, or D, our objective is met. As opposed to Province A and D don't spend their money, the money reverts back to the fiscus and the housing need has not been met. So, Chair, we are convinced, and that's an established principle in the sector, that where a province cannot spend its allocation, it will then have to be reallocated to other performing provinces. Chair, that principle has served the sector very well. Now, let me come back to the question that is being asked. Why punish the people when, in fact, it's the administration that is suffering? Chair, that's a political question. Unfortunately, I'm not qualified to answer that, save to say, Chair, that we can provide all the support that we are able to as a national department because we have a legislative duty to do so. But there are limits to that support. Because think about it, Chair, for us to intervene in terms of taking over the function, it's a Section 101A or B. That's a very long process that we cannot wait for from a built environment. The projects are running, they are stuck. You have to do something here and now. So that reality, Chair, is with us. Unfortunately, we live with it. There are limits to intergovernmental support, Chairperson, and those limits are well documented. From where we sit, the Program 3, as you would have seen, its coexistence is to do exactly that. But despite that, where provinces fail, for reasons beyond And sometimes the members are here, they're asking, but what is underneath, what is behind this inability to spend? It's a complete cocktail of issues, Chairperson. In some cases, the situation on the ground is such that a project cannot proceed because either there's community unrest or there's litigation or there's a delay with a statutory approval of one sort or other, and therefore the project cannot proceed. Ordinarily, from a project but program management point of view, the HOD in the province must reallocate the budgets to say, okay, I've got 40 other projects, so let me shift this funding to those projects so that they can deliver while I'm sorting out these blockages here. That's a decision that a province must make well in time before we arrive to then cut the budget. So you find that at times the provinces take long to arrive at those decisions because, yes, there would have been commitments. Similarly, Chair, while the HDA was established to support the provinces take a long time to close contract with the HDA, because ideally the HDA should be brought in at the beginning of the financial year, not in December, not in January. That doesn't assist. What can the HDA do in the compressed time before the end of the financial year? So those are some of the issues of delayed responses from the provinces. Chair, I want to confirm that we do not bypass the provinces. We deal directly with the metros because they are the direct recipients of the Urban Settlement Development Grant, and therefore, by virtue of that, we have a direct line with them to oversight what they do with the grant, to intervene when there's a problem, but also, Chairperson, to ensure that there's alignment between the provinces and the metros in terms of deploying these grants. So we don't necessarily overstep the province. It's by virtue of the grant design that we do so. Chair, we took a conscious decision to delay the implementation of the audits simply because you've got a limited team that can do these audits internally. But when there was a need to then verify the provincial performance, we then took a conscious decision to say, let's rather prioritize that, because that was the burning platform. Given the end of the financial year, the audit process that was underway, so we did that. We will revert back, Chairperson, as I indicated, to the planned audits as were indicated. Chair, I am comfortable, Chair, that the provinces can come and account. I do think it's a very good initiative that. Similarly, we will include, Chairperson, the performance, or rather the overview of entities in our reporting. It just will require more time for us to deliver that, but we'll do so, Chair. But also in the same way that the provinces, even the metros, the entities can be called in. I think the committees have done so in the past, and I think that would be a welcome intervention. Chair, what perhaps is, let me clarify, the emergency housing grant is demand-led. If there's an incident, the municipality provinces are assisted to access this grant. One, if there's no incident that warrants emergency response, then there is no demand, so to speak. So that's how the grant is structured. It's a demand-based grant. However, Chair, we are also mindful that there are certain instances where emergencies have occurred, but interventions were not forthcoming. So we are also working with those municipalities and provinces to try and access this grant for those purposes, so that it's not underspent. It's not the last one, Chair. I think we ventilated enough on the performance or underperformance of the provinces and the reasons behind it. It's a myriad of reasons, as I indicated, Chair. However, let me get to the two issues shared. The project readiness matrix that we've shared with the committee, it is our instrument. Because before we can transfer the funds to the province, we must, the law requires that we must check, is this money going to meet with the purpose? So the project readiness matrix assists us to be able to assess those risks, isolate them upfront. But we don't end there, Chairperson, because where we isolated projects that are not ready, the provinces have an option. They can either substitute those projects and put in projects that are ready. Alternatively, they can de-risk those projects. And that's work that is undergoing. It's a project management intervention. We are quite comfortable with that instrument. From time to time, it helps us to isolate those risks, Chairperson. Ordinarily, you can see where there's a risk up front and that risk is not mitigated, it's going to manifest in here. You will see that. There's a direct correlation. So we're not worried about the findings because it's a preemptive intervention. Let me come back, Chairperson, to the question of the title deeds. Oh, one last issue here is this issue of the land that is now released for human settlement, state land. Chair, all of those land parcels have been either requested by the municipality or the province. We have synchronized with all of the parties concerned to make sure that we are able to respond to spatial restructuring in all of those environments. In some cases, Chairperson, is land that's already settled. There's an informal settlement, we want to formalize it, but if the land is not released, you can't formalize. So it's those sort of issues there, Chairperson. But we are fairly comfortable that these land parcels are responding to spatial transformation as is. And similarly, Chair, the service sites are a milestone in our delivery. You have to get to a point where there's a service site so that you are then able to then produce or either hand that site to the beneficiary or proceed to build a top structure. In both cases, Chairperson, it talks to the need to plan properly, but also, Chair, given the rate of urbanization, it's better to prepare land up front so that you organize this influx of people so that people don't just settle anywhere and everywhere. Chair, the title deeds program is precisely introduced for the very reasons the members are worried about. We have established under the direction of the Minister a national project office that looks into every one of the settlements that have been built. What is the problem? If there's no township establishment, we have to trigger that process with the provinces and municipalities. Members would be aware township establishment takes a very long time, even longer if you are doing it retrofit. The case in point, in the city Etegwini, there were some 14,000 residential units. The title deed, or rather the township establishment, could not be finalized. Why? Because the engineers will say, we don't actually know if the services underneath here are okay. Because you need to issue those engineering certificates to confirm that these properties are well and sound. 2 years later, Chair, we're only finding breakthrough now. So it's a myriad of those issues. We have to verify the beneficiaries, who's in the house, do we transfer to this person, how did they get into the house if, in fact, it's not the original beneficiary? So it's a whole chain, Chairperson, and it may serve the committee to come for us to come back with the full business plan and the strategy around these issues. I can confirm, Chairperson, that every Friday the provinces have put a table, a process in place where the title deeds can be handed over. Chair, the handing over of title deeds is the easiest part. Let me be upfront about that, because it's the final product. The title deed is there. My biggest problem, Chair, is where the title deed is not there. and therefore you must do everything, township establishment, conveyancing, surveyor general, all of those issues, so that there's a registrable property that you can then transfer to a beneficiary. That is where the bulk of our effort must be directed. There are, Chairperson, very sad cases, heartbreaking cases. Families have been ripped apart because of the contestation as to the rightful owner of this property. So it is not a matter that is light, Chairperson, and I take the irritation of the members seriously, because that is what we must do quickly. And Chairperson, that is why we are upfront. We tell you what is the backlog, what has to be done in each instance, why, so that we our expectations are all aligned. Chair, I think, as I said, the handing of title deeds every Friday, it's really good because it gives momentum to getting the title deeds into the hands of the households. Chair, I think those are the... And I can confirm, Chairperson, that as we speak now, in every province, there's a deeds office. It may be a question of how then the province, the municipalities, work in tight with that deeds office to get things to happen very fast. And we will sustain those interventions, Chairperson. Lastly, Chair, I think I've answered maybe the part that I must resolve is the legislative program, Chair. We are committed to finalizing these pieces of legislation, but we also are alive to the fact that the work must be so matured that it's ready for consideration. So we are not necessarily withholding these back. It's a program that we have to work through, and then as these pieces mature, we are able to bring them to yourself, Chairperson, via cabinet. If I've left anything, I think I'll ask CFO to respond to the questions I've left out. CFO?
Thank you, Chair. I won't be long, but let me start with the one for access, because it has been raised by two honorable members. Chair, by the access, maybe I didn't explain myself very well. I was meaning there that if money has been transferred to provinces, it gets transferred to provincial treasury and stays in the bank account there. Now, if that money doesn't get spent by provinces at the end of the period, which is 31 March subsequent year, where I'm sitting, I cannot access that money simply because it's already transferred. Now, what we are saying is if the rollover process is not approved, I've lost that money back to fiscus. There are other rationale for me to say I do not have access to it, is that if it's already with the province and the province doesn't spend again, I cannot take that money and give it away to other provinces because it's outside my territory of managing and administering the funds. Provincial treasuries at the end of the period, when that money is not approved for rollover, they have a responsibility of transferring it back to the revenue. So I've lost that money. So that's the access that I'm talking about. However, as the acting DG has indicated, the principal decision that we have taken is in line with the division of revenue provision of stopping and reallocating money to provinces. And that is a process of about a month or so. That's the access, Chair, that I was talking about. Chair, I have number of challenges that provinces are indicating to us. I have a big analysis here, but Chair, with your permission, I'm very happy to share the analysis of all the provincial challenges with the committee. It's a long list, and if possible, I can transfer it to the Secretariat just for members to have it. It's number of challenges, and when provinces come here, you'll be able to gauge what they tell us and what they tell the committee. So that's a long list, and if I were to share it, it's another presentation, Chairperson. Chair, I think I just need to check with the member, but I also want to respond to that because there's this question that is talking about the shifting of money from goods and services. I just want to pick so that we respond to member correctly, and I'm not sure because I can't remember saying from the goods and services, we're shifting money because it's still within the 6 month period. We can only shift money for provinces after the midterm review. So I just wanted to be clear, just so that we don't leave the question hanging. Thank you, Chair.
The member will verify the slide. He doesn't have it. Honourable members, it's 20 past 11, must get another presentation from water and sanitation. Please allow me. No?
My question is not answered, Chair.
Which one, Honourable
Chair,
member?
Chair, I was saying.
No, yours has been answered on Iris. Keep quiet, please.
Chair, no, you cannot say to me that I must keep quiet because
Allow member.
The DJ has responded. Because I'm not satisfied with the response of
No, but it's not.
You cannot say to me that I must keep quiet.
Keep quiet, the member. No, I'm saying the member is on the floor.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The department has said that it is implementing and monitoring the audit action plan every month. Mm. But my problem is they've set themselves a target of 45% and they were unable to achieve it. In other words, they got not achieved because they were only able, you know, to achieve 15% from implementing that approved internal audit plan. So my question was, why is there that contradiction? On the other side, they're saying they are doing this, probably they are thinking they are doing it effectively, and the results are poor. What are they doing about this? Are there any measures that have been put into place so that this situation should not repeat itself? Thank you.
Okay, can you respond to that question, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, these are two different things. The audit action plan seeks to address all findings by the Auditor General in relation to previous year's audit. The internal audit plan is a current year plan by the internal audit unit. They have got a number of audits they have to do this current financial year. So what the Acting Director General was saying is that in relation to the internal audit plan, there was a decision to pause and focus on the verification of the delivery information from provincial departments. But that is different from the audit action plan, which is addressing the findings of the AG in the previous year's audit.
Thank you, honourable members. The issue of the title deed, the Del Shaba, we know that you are not responsible for the deed office, but we would have to check the reasons behind those. When the province and municipalities they are coming here, we should have that information that why there is delayment in title deed. But the other issue that we have raised before, which has not been, which we need to tighten up, is the selling out of the properties. For us to be able to be in line with legislation, I think one, the title deed for those that they've not spent the 8 years, I think even if they can, they must access it, but it should not be prioritized because they will not be allowed to sell, or it's no longer their, it's not yet their house, it's still the state's house in terms of that legislation of you can sell it after 8 years. But we should then have a separate, probably a regulation in terms of those that wants to improve those houses. They should not be stopped by the title deeds. The other issue is that we have raised the issue of selling houses. As long as we are not providing a mechanism to stop that, you will not actually deal with that. I think we should have a situation where if an individual wants to sell the house, the first buyer must be the state so that we can reallocate the house to other beneficiaries for us to deal with the backlog, because and the person who's selling the house therefore would be visible within the system that he has benefited but he sold the house. That's one of the things, but the first person to buy should be the state so that the state can continue to distribute to other people. The second issue on the issues that have been raised, I think before we call the provinces, we in the last interaction CFO and the DG, remember we said we would appreciate if we can get the approved business plan of provinces. It will help us to interact with them if we can get those approved business plans. And even as you shift the money, we'll have understanding. You have actually allocated these resources based on the approved business plan, but somebody decided not to implement. I think it will be very helpful to have that. And I want you to note the importance of the legislation. All the legislation that must come through this term. Indeed, Honorable Member requests that there should be, there must be a time frame for that so that we don't end up being worked out for a long time. And I think those are the things that I needed to close them up so that we should follow up on them. Thank you very much. Can we have water? 5 minutes comfort break. Thank you.